This is Bad Cop, No Donut for the week of December 8th, 2005.
All right, police! Police!
Bad Cop, No Donut!
Bad, 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 bad.
Cop, 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 cop.
No, 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 no. Donut, 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 donut.
It's under law, and I rule.
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto. Here's a look at what the police did to us this week.
Officer Garcia was faced with an imminent deadly force, and he responded to that force by firing his weapon and defending himself.
He fired 10 times. 10. There is no analysis, no justification of why, even if he made the decision to shoot, he didn't stop and reassess the situation.
A Los Angeles police officer will not face charges in the fatal shooting of a 13-year-old boy. An Associated Press report says that prosecutors announced on Monday that Officer Steven Garcia will not face charges in the February 6th killing. A police investigation concluded that there was insufficient evidence to proceed with charges against the officer. The mother of the dead boy has filed a wrongful death lawsuit. The report issued Monday leaves many significant questions about the shooting unanswered. A man is suing the two East Palo Alto, California police officers who severely beat him last year. The San Jose Mercury News says that officers Edward Rivers and John Taflinger were off duty when they beat the man after an argument broke out when the man sold them crack cocaine in August 2004. The victim of the beating spent 5 days in hospital. Both officers were indicted by a grand jury on assault charges. Their trial is expected to begin in March. Rivers and Taflinger are both on paid leave until their case is resolved.
The new transit police force will enhance public safety throughout the SkyTrain route, on buses, trains, and stations, and in the neighborhoods that surround the depots. It's about helping to build further public confidence in public safety as people use the transit systems. We know that we want to promote transit ridership, and that can be much more readily accomplished when people actually feel safe.
I ride the SkyTrain alone at night all the time, and I've never not felt safe, so I don't really think there's a need for it.
Vancouver, British Columbia Transit Police are now carrying guns and have been given expanded powers. A Canadian press report says that the Vancouver force are the first transit police in the country to be armed. They have also been given new powers to make arrests, including those for outstanding warrants and enforce drug laws. They are also permitted to make arrests off of Vancouver transit property. A police officer in Nome, Alaska, was convicted of murder and evidence tampering on Tuesday. The Anchorage Daily News reports that Officer Matthew Owens was convicted of killing a woman at his second trial. The first trial for the 2003 murder ended in a hung jury and was declared a mistrial. Owens was accused of luring the woman into his police cruiser before killing her. He also made several unexplained off-duty visits to both the site where her body was eventually discovered and sites where some of her clothing was discovered. Owens will be sentenced later this month. Police in Edmonton, Alberta, mistakenly impounded an 85-year-old man along with his car for several hours last Tuesday. A report from Reuters says that the man was towed to a police impound lot where he was discovered after spending several hours in his car at sub-zero temperatures. The man was disoriented but not unconscious when he was found. He was treated at a hospital and released. A Milwaukee, Wisconsin police officer was arrested last Friday for calling in a false bomb threat to the police station where he used to work. An Associated Press report says that Officer John Bartlett was one of three Milwaukee police officers charged for the beating of a man at a party in October 2004. Bartlett allegedly called in a bomb threat on Friday morning, claiming that there was a bomb in the police station. He was arrested by Internal Affairs detectives later the same day. Bartlett was one of eight officers fired in May over the 2004 beating. A report on a complaint filed last month was released Monday, which offers details of allegations against an Evansville, Wisconsin police officer. The Janesville Gazette reports that Sergeant William Fitters is the subject of a complaint filed by the Evansville police chief based on external investigations into misconduct and sex abuse allegations. Fitters is accused of providing alcohol to an underage woman and some of her underage friends, being negligent by doing nothing when he saw an underage woman drinking in a bar, and failing to prohibit underage drinking in several other instances. On one occasion, he's accused of providing alcohol to a minor before reaching into her pants and making a lewd comment. He's also accused of forcing a woman into a sex act and later telling her that if he ever caught her driving on her suspended license, that she could escape punishment by engaging in sex with him. Upon a review of the complaint, the local district attorney concluded that there was no basis to file criminal charges. He's facing 10 internal charges at an upcoming police commission hearing next month. An Adams, Wisconsin police officer who used police surveillance equipment to videotape women secretly pleaded guilty to two related felonies last Tuesday. The Wisconsin State Journal reports that Officer Michael Kosabud was charged over a year ago with hiding a tiny video camera behind a soap dish in his bathroom and using it to videotape two ex-girlfriends and another woman undressing and bathing. The videotapes were recorded between 1999 and 2003 and were discovered by one of the women on the tapes when she was cleaning the home. Kosabud will remain free on his $2,500 bail until he is sentenced on February 13th. He's facing a possible 7 years in jail and a $20,000 fine.
I've known him for over 12 years. He's a very good man. He's a good father. He's a good police officer for this community for almost 12 years, and he's innocent.
The defense attorney has a job to do, and that's represent his client, and he'll do that to the best of his ability. But if I didn't feel like we had a good chance of getting a conviction, I would not have filed the charges.
A Richmond, Missouri police officer was charged last Tuesday with having sex with a minor. KMBC reports that Officer Wayne Jenkins has been charged with sexual assault, felony child molestation, and concealing an offense. There are two alleged victims, one as an adult and the other a child under 16. An investigation was initiated after complaints that Jenkins was flirting and engaging in unacceptable behavior while on duty. Jenkins resigned in the middle of the investigation in October. He is not the first Richmond officer to face these kinds of charges. In December 2004, Officer Rick Enns was charged with child molestation. A Roseland, Indiana police officer was arrested on Sunday on domestic violence charges. Police were called to the home of Officer Craig Toner and his girlfriend after a domestic disturbance was reported. Investigators say that Toner and his girlfriend were drinking alcohol at a local restaurant before the fight. Toner has been charged with domestic battery and will appear in court on Friday. Toner worked for the Mishawaka Police Department for 19 years, but joined the Roseland Department after he was fired over a drunk driving conviction. A Union County, Ohio sheriff's deputy was indicted last week on charges connected to the sexual abuse of three children. An Associated Press report says that Deputy Terry Wirtz has been charged with having sexual contact with a 9-year-old and a 14-year-old in 2004 and forcing a 6-year-old to touch him sexually between March 2003 and October 2004. At least one of Wirtz's victims was a family member who complained of sexual abuse to a counselor. An investigation was conducted beginning in October 2004. Wirtz has been on administrative leave since that time. In 1992, he was suspended without pay and demoted for inappropriate contact with a rape victim whose case he was investigating. A sheriff's deputy in Jackson County, Michigan, was arrested on Tuesday and charged with the sexual assault of a female inmate. The Jackson Citizen Patriot says that Deputy Tyler Jeffries was guarding a woman at a hospital when he allegedly used his authority to force the woman into sexual activity. He has been charged with second-degree criminal sexual conduct. Jeffries has been fired from his job and is facing 15 years in prison if convicted on the charge. He is free on a $100,000 bond and will appear in court next on December 27th. A police officer in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, was arrested last Tuesday for beating up an arrested man in the back seat of his squad car. WPRI reports that Officer Ronald Marcos was charged with assault and battery after he was arrested at work. An investigation began after a complaint from a man who said he was beaten by Marcos on October 1st. Marcos has been placed on administrative duty. A police officer in Oxford, Connecticut, was arrested on Tuesday and charged with unlawful restraint and disorderly conduct. The Hartford Courant reports that Officer James Burr was already the subject of 3 restraining orders, one from his current victim and 2 others from his ex-wife. The restraining orders meant Burr could not carry a weapon. Two of Burr's supervisors expressed fear of the officer and were forced to write letters to authorities demanding an investigation of the officer to get anything done about him. Burr is accused of terrorizing an ex-girlfriend by threatening her and not allowing her to leave his home. He once called her 94 times in one weekend. He is currently being held in custody and has been suspended from his job with pay. A New York City police detective was arrested last Tuesday for the sexual abuse of a child over 3 years, beginning when the child was 8 years old. The New York Daily News says that Officer Clifton Lawrence is facing multiple charges, including sexual assault of a child, criminal sex act, sodomy, sexual abuse, and endangering the welfare of a child. The alleged abuse took place over 3 years, starting in August 2002. The victim is his girlfriend's son. Last Saturday, she walked in on Lawrence as he was engaged in a sex act with the boy. A New York City police officer was arrested on Sunday and charged with drunk driving and menacing. The New York Post reports that Daryl White crashed his car into a minivan before yelling threats at the occupants of the vehicle when they asked if he was drunk. He is also accused of threatening the terrified victims with his gun. White has been suspended without pay from his job. Two New York City police officers who allegedly sexually assaulted a woman in her home last week were indicted on multiple related charges on Wednesday. WINS reports that officers Charles McGeehan and Fernand Clerge pleaded not guilty to charges of attempted criminal sex act, sex abuse, and official misconduct. The two allegedly sexually assaulted the woman in her car at a traffic stop before following her home, where another assault took place. Since their arrest, four other women have come forward complaining of sexual abuse at the hands of the same two officers. McGeehan and Clerge are both currently free on $10,000 bail. A Schenectady County, New York sheriff's deputy was charged with theft and misconduct on Friday. WTEN reports that Deputy Richard Vore is accused of stealing $130 and a diamond earring from a safe inside the sheriff's department. Vore has also been fired from his job. Two Philadelphia, Pennsylvania police officers have been arrested for an attack on a plainclothes officer who was guarding the house used on the TV program Real World. United Press International reports that officers Patrick Cavalieri and David McAndrews went to the house and started banging on the door. They beat the other officer when he tried to stop them. Cavalieri and McAndrews are charged with assault, aggravated assault, criminal conspiracy, and reckless endangerment. Both have been suspended for 30 days and both face dismissal. A service firearm belonging to an Easton, Pennsylvania police officer remains missing weeks after it was left in a restaurant restroom. The Allentown Morning Call says that Officer Thomas Smith claims that he left his gun on top of a toilet paper dispenser on November 22nd. He realized he had left it behind on his way back to the police station. Investigators have interviewed patrons and staff at the restaurant, but the weapon remains missing. Smith has been issued a new weapon and will have to pay $750 for his old one if it is not located. Police in Washington, D.C. gave a 73-year-old man a jaywalking ticket last Thursday as he was lying in the road injured after being struck by a car. An Associated Press report says that the 73-year-old was struck so violently that he was knocked out of his shoes and bloodied from smashing his head on the car's windshield. He was lying in the road critically injured but conscious when he was given the jaywalking ticket.
Well, it's embarrassing for the department. You know, we were shocked when we heard that this was going on. I think we deal with the anger of it. But we also want to send out a message to the public that, you know, there's people of all professions doing this. I think we're only kind of scratching the surface when we get to the folks and the numbers that are out there doing it. But if we identify you, we're going to go after you no matter who you are.
An Arlington, Virginia police officer was arrested last Friday for attempting to use the internet to solicit sex from a minor. NBC4 reports that Officer Patrick Sherman used his computer to contact an undercover officer posing as a child. Sherman had conversations of a sexual nature with the officer. An investigation began which led to his arrest last week. Sherman has been suspended without pay from his job and is free on a $1,500 bond. He is facing a possible 5-year prison sentence if he is convicted. A Chattanooga, Tennessee police officer charged with rape turned himself into authorities on Tuesday. An Associated Press report says that Officer Michael Adams was accused of raping the woman in her home on November 3rd. He will appear in court next on January 9th. Sheriff's deputies in Oconee County, Georgia, arrested 31 Latino men last Thursday. An Associated Press report says that the men were day laborers who were waiting for jobs in a local hardware store parking lot. The 31 were charged with loitering and prowling. Most of the men were bailed out the same day they were arrested. The county jail holds only 32 inmates. A Miami, Florida police officer was sentenced to 20 years in prison on Friday for having sex with a 14-year-old girl. WPLG reports that Officer Jesus Gutierrez was found guilty on 3 counts of lewd and lascivious battery of a child. His victim was a member of the Police Explorer program when she was assaulted by the officer over a 10-month period. In addition to his 20 years in prison, Gutierrez was also sentenced to 15 years of probation. A police officer in Delray Beach, Florida, was arrested last Wednesday for helping a psychic to defraud elderly victims. An Associated Press report says that Officer Jack Mackler and the psychic were both indicted on charges of fraud, money laundering, and corruption. The psychic is accused of preying on elderly, terminally ill people by claiming she could cure them by praying over their money. Mackler investigated many cases involving the psychic, but instead of making an arrest, he assisted her in her fraud and money laundering activities. Mackler is also accused of lying to investigators about his relationship with the psychic and about how he handled her cases. Mackler is facing 265 years in prison if convicted on all of his charges. A Hillsborough County, Florida sheriff's deputy who committed a felony was forced to retire from his job last week. WFTS reports that Deputy Detective Reggie Davis was under investigation for using a fellow deputy's computer login to book more overtime work than he was allowed to. When he learned that he was under investigation for that relatively minor offense, Davis committed a felony by secretly recording a conversation between himself and the other deputy. Although Davis could have been arrested or fired for the offense, illegal oral intercept, he was instead allowed to retire. Davis will get to keep his pension and other benefits. A police officer in Russell, Alabama, was arrested last Thursday for taking money from a man in exchange for not charging him with a crime. The Franklin County Times says that Officer Wesley Mattox was recently indicted by a grand jury on a variety of charges, including bribery and extortion. Mattox is accused of accepting money from an inmate at the Russellville City Jail who was serving his sentence on weekends. He found a small quantity of drugs inside an inmate's sock and agreed not to press charges in exchange for a $100 payment. He is free on a $6,000 bond. A Southern University police officer in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, was arrested last Friday after he was accused of raping an 11-year-old. An Associated Press report says that Officer Joe Walter is charged with 1 count of aggravated rape and 2 counts of aggravated sex crimes. He's accused of performing sex acts on the child on 3 occasions in August and September. Walter is being held on a $100,000 bond. A police officer in Bunky, Louisiana, was arrested last Friday for transporting a minor across state lines for illicit purposes. According to an Associated Press report, Captain Frederick Armstead transported a 14-year-old to an Air Force base in Georgia where he served as a reservist. An FBI investigation concluded that Armstead was involved in a sexual relationship with the child. A Haltom City, Texas police officer was arrested last Friday for driving drunk. The Dallas Morning News reports that Fort Worth police arrested Officer Ron Foreman after responding to a one-vehicle collision. Foreman has been placed on administrative leave while an investigation is completed. A woman in El Paso, Texas filed a complaint last week which accuses a police officer of beating up her 13-year-old son. KFOX reports that the 13-year-old was being arrested because of a probation violation. He was convicted of a graffiti art-related crime. The boy's mother claims witnesses described seeing her son repeatedly struck with a radio by a police detective. The detective claimed he was assaulted by the boy, but the boy claims he only raised his hands to defend himself from the unnamed detective's blows.
Ma'am?
Yes or no?
Yes or no?
I need to make one phone call, and
no.
I deserve that.
Negative.
Yes, I do.
Nope.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ma'am?
Yeah. What's going to happen now?
That's it. Taser time.
Call to a police officer. You two are going to get
Ma'am, drop the phone.
Oh, for police brutality!
Ma'am?
God damn it! Help me!
Drop the phone.
Stop resisting.
Drop the phone.
Stop resisting. Stop resisting.
Oh my
stop
God!
Resisting.
Oh my God!
Stop
oh my
resisting.
God! Stop!
Stop resisting!
Stop!
Stop!
Stop.
Turn around!
Lay on
turn
your
around!
Stomach. Lay on your
turn
stomach.
Around!
Oh my God!
Lay on
ma'am.
Your stomach!
Lay on your stomach now!
Right
I
now! You're gonna get it again if you're not stop
ma'am.
Resisting. You will get it again.
Relax.
Oh my God! I want to call medicine.
Oh my God!
Oh my God! Dispatch 326. Oh my God!
1043, if we have to, I just stay as a scale. It wasn't Tong.
A man died after being shocked with a taser by police in Longview, Washington, last Wednesday. A man died after Orange County, Florida sheriff's deputies shocked him twice with a taser last Thursday. A sheriff's deputy in Monroe County, Michigan, used a taser on a high school student last Wednesday. Two police officers in Hallandale Beach, Florida, were fired last Friday after they shocked a man in a police holding cell with a taser more than 10 times in less than 5 minutes. Officers Talis Cirillo and Mary Hagopian are both facing misdemeanor battery charges. Both will appear in court on December 21st. The officers have 15 days to appeal their dismissal. A police officer in Vancouver, British Columbia, accused of using excessive force in a June arrest, is now facing charges. Constable Trevor Lowe has been charged with assault and assault with a weapon. News of the charges was disclosed last week. Lowe is accused of using excessive force by using a taser during an arrest in a nightclub in June 2005. He has been on administrative duty since that time. A woman has filed a lawsuit claiming that Hamilton County, Indiana sheriff's deputies used excessive force by shocking her with a taser during a traffic stop in November 2003. The woman was not resisting the deputies who shocked her when she refused to put down a cell phone, which she was using to call her lawyer. Deputy Greg Lockhart can be seen and heard in the videotaped incident threatening to use the taser. When the weapon was deployed, the woman was being restrained by another deputy, Ryan Horeen. Both deputies are named as defendants in the lawsuit. A woman whose husband died last year after he was shocked twice by Polk County, Florida sheriff's deputies filed a lawsuit last week against Taser International. The woman claims in her lawsuit that the company's product is defective and that if the deputies who shocked her husband were aware of the risks, they may not have used the weapon against him. The family of a man who died last year after being shocked repeatedly with a taser by Gwinnett County, Georgia sheriff's deputies filed a lawsuit on Wednesday. The dead man was handcuffed, shackled, and restricted by a half dozen deputies when he was repeatedly shocked with the weapon. Another wrongful death lawsuit was filed in September by the family of another man killed by Gwinnett County deputies using a taser. An elderly woman has filed a lawsuit against the city of Franklin, Ohio, the Franklin Police Department, and a police officer who shocked her with a taser. The woman had gone to a police station to discuss a domestic argument she had with her granddaughter. She was prevented from leaving the police station by Officer Wayne Bowling, who shocked her with a taser. The woman, who suffered the attack last year, is still unable to return to her hometown because she now fears the police there. Police officers in San Jose, California, are now facing new restrictions on when they can use tasers. Officers are now prevented from shocking people who are handcuffed and may not use the weapons on pregnant women, the elderly, or children. The new restrictions are a response to the death of a man who was shocked with a taser by San Jose police on November 18th. Other than the killings already reported on this program, police also killed people this week in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Montreal, Quebec. That's all for Bad Cop, No Donut this week. Feel free to send in your comments and story ideas. We count on you to keep us up to date with what the police are doing where you live. The email address for this program is ron@ckln.fm. Bad Cop, No Donut is produced at CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto and can be heard in Austin, Texas on KOOP and KVRX 91.7 FM. I'm Ron Anisich. Thanks for listening. Still think that uniforms are cool.
special ops team training daily. We go out constantly training with our law enforcement, our subguns.